First part of the second part. Question 5. The attainment of happiness. Article 1. Whether man can attain happiness. It is written in Psalm 93, Blessed is the man whom thou shalt instruct, O Lord. Happiness is the attainment of the perfect good. Whoever therefore is capable of the perfect good can attain happiness. Now that man is capable of the perfect good is proved both because his intellect can apprehend the universal and perfect good, and because his will can desire it, and therefore man can attain happiness. This can be proved again from the fact that man is capable of seeing God, as stated previously, in which vision man's perfect happiness consists. First objection. It would seem that man cannot attain happiness, for just as the rational is above the sensible nature, so the intellectual is above the rational, as Dionysius says. But irrational animals that can have the sensitive nature only cannot attain the end of the rational nature. Therefore neither can man who is of rational nature attain the end of the intellectual nature, which is happiness. Reply to the first objection. The rational exceeds the sensitive nature in a different way than the intellectual surpasses the rational. For the rational exceeds the sensitive nature in respect of the object of its knowledge, since the senses have no knowledge whatever of the universal, whereas the reason has knowledge thereof. But the intellectual surpasses the rational nature as to the mode of knowing the same intelligible truth. For the intellectual nature grasps forthwith the truth which the rational nature reaches by inquiry of reason. Therefore reason arrives by a kind of movement at that which the intellect grasps. Consequently, the rational nature can attain happiness, which is the perfection of the intellectual nature, but in a different way than the angels, because the angels attained it forthwith after the beginning of their creation, whereas man attains it after a time. But the sensitive nature can nowise attain this end. Second objection. True happiness consists in seeing God, who is pure truth. But from his very nature, man considers truth in material things, wherefore he understands the intelligible species in the phantasm. Therefore he cannot attain happiness. Reply to the second objection. To man in the present state of life, the natural way of knowing intelligible truth is by means of phantasms, but after this state of life he has another natural way. Third objection. Happiness consists in attaining the sovereign good, but we cannot arrive at the top without surmounting the middle. Therefore, since the angelic nature through which man cannot mount is midway between God and human nature, it seems that he cannot attain happiness. Reply to the third objection. Man cannot surmount the angels in the degree of nature so as to be above them naturally, but he can surmount them by an operation of the intellect, by understanding that there is above the angels something that makes men happy, and when he has attained it, he will be perfectly happy. Article 3. Whether one can be happy in this life. It is written in Job, Man born of a woman, living for a short time, is filled with many miseries. But happiness excludes misery, therefore man cannot be happy in this life. A certain participation of happiness can be had in this life, but perfect and true happiness cannot be had in this life. This may be seen from a twofold consideration. First, from the general notion of happiness. For since happiness is a perfect and sufficient good, it excludes every evil and fulfills every desire. But in this life, every evil cannot be excluded, for this present life is subject to many unavoidable evils, to ignorance on the part of the intellect, to inordinate affection on the part of the appetite, and to many penalties on the part of the body. Likewise, neither can the desire for good be satiated in this life, for man naturally desires the good which he has to be abiding. Now the goods of the present life pass away, since life itself passes away, which we naturally desire to have and would wish to hold abidingly, for man naturally shrinks from death. Wherefore it is impossible to have true happiness in this life. Secondly, from a consideration of the specific nature of happiness, namely the vision of the divine essence, which man cannot obtain in this life. Hence it is evident that none can attain true and perfect happiness in this life. First objection. It would seem that happiness can be had in this life, for it is written in Psalm 118, Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. But this happens in this life, therefore one can be happy in this life. Reply to the first objection. Some are said to be happy in this life either on account of the hope of obtaining happiness in the life to come, according to Romans 8, we are saved by hope, or on account of a certain participation of happiness, by reason of a kind of enjoyment of the sovereign good. Second objection. Imperfect participation in the sovereign good does not destroy the nature of happiness, otherwise one would not be happier than another. But men can participate in the sovereign good in this life by knowing and loving God, albeit imperfectly. Therefore man can be happy in this life. Reply to the second objection. The imperfection of participated happiness is due to one of two causes. First, on the part of the object of happiness, which is not seen in its essence, and this imperfection destroys the nature of true happiness. Secondly, the imperfection may be on the part of the participator, who indeed attains the object of happiness in itself, namely God, imperfectly, however, in comparison with the way in which God enjoys himself. This imperfection does not destroy the true nature of happiness, because since happiness is an operation, the true nature of happiness is taken from the object, which specifies the act, and not from the subject. Third objection. What is said by many cannot be altogether false, since what is in many comes apparently from nature, and nature does not fail altogether. Now many say that happiness can be had in this life, as appears from Psalm 143, they have called the people happy that hath these things, namely the good things in this life. Therefore one can be happy in this life. Reply to the third objection. Men esteem that there is some kind of happiness to be had in this life on account of a certain likeness to true happiness, and thus they do not fail altogether in their estimate. Article 5. Whether man can attain happiness by his natural powers. Man is naturally the principle of his action by his intellect and will, but final happiness prepared for the saints surpasses the intellect and will of man, for the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what things God hath prepared for them that love him." Therefore man cannot attain happiness by his natural powers. Imperfect happiness can be had in this life, can be acquired by man by his natural powers, in the same way as virtue, in whose operation it consists. But man's perfect happiness consists in the vision of the divine essence. Now the vision of God's essence surpasses the nature not only of man, but also of every creature, for the natural knowledge of every creature is in keeping with the mode of his substance. Thus it is said of the intelligence that it knows things that are above it and things that are below it according to the mode of its substance. But every knowledge that is according to the mode of created substance falls short of the vision of the divine essence, which infinitely surpasses all created substance. Consequently, neither man nor any creature can attain final happiness by his natural powers. First objection. It would seem that man can attain happiness by his natural powers, for nature does not fail in necessary things, but nothing is so necessary to man as that by which he attains the last end. Therefore, this is not lacking to human nature. Therefore, man can attain happiness by his natural powers. Reply to the first objection. Just as nature does not fail man in necessaries, although it has not provided him with weapons and clothing, as it provided other animals, because it gave him reason and hands with which he is able to get these things for himself, so neither did it fail man in things necessary, although it gave him not the wherewithal to attain happiness, since this it could not do. But it did give him free will with which he can turn to God, that he may make him happy. For what we do by means of our friends is done, in a sense, by ourselves, according to Aristotle in the Ethics. Second objection. Since man is more noble than irrational creatures, it seems that he must be better equipped than they. But irrational creatures can attain their end by their natural powers. Much more, therefore, can man attain happiness by his natural powers. Reply to the second objection. The nature that can attain perfect good, although it needs help from without in order to attain it, is of more noble condition than a nature which cannot attain perfect good, but attain some imperfect good, although it need no help from without in order to attain it. Thus he is better disposed to health who can attain perfect health, albeit by means of medicine, than he who can attain but imperfect health without the help of medicine. And therefore the rational creature, which can attain the perfect good of happiness, but needs the divine assistance for the purpose, is more perfect than the irrational creature, which is not capable of attaining this good, but attains some imperfect good by its natural powers. Third objection. Happiness is a perfect operation, according to Aristotle. Now the beginning of a thing belongs to the same principle as the perfecting thereof. Since therefore the imperfect operation, which is as the beginning in human operations, is subject to man's natural power, whereby he is master of his own actions, it seems that he can attain to perfect operation, that is happiness, by his natural powers. Reply to the third objection. When imperfect and perfect are of the same species, they can be caused by the same power. But this does not follow of necessity if they be of different species, for not everything that can cause the disposition of matter can produce the final perfection. Now the imperfect operation which is subject to man's natural power is not of the same species as that perfect operation which is man's happiness, since operation takes its species from its object. Consequently, the argument does not follow.